says in the Chumash from Beiseva, Tokum v'yodarta p'nei zokein. My zikno, which means my wisdom, can certainly be challenged, but no one can challenge my birth certificate. So it's my pleasure being here tonight. And once again, I invite you at any time to interrupt and to ask a question. Please be my guest. I'm trying to get a page over here. And I will in a moment. First of all, in my opinion, giving a shiur in Chumash is a very, very difficult thing to do, and I'll tell you why. When I open Makoros Gedolos, what do you have? You have number one Rashi. You have the Ramban. You have Ibn Ezra. You have all the Gedolim who are giving Pshat and Chumash. And then, of course, you have the Imam Lois. You have Shari Aron. There are so many, many wonderful Perushim on Chumash. And for a Rav to get up and give his own personal insights into Chumash is a little bit, shall we say, off the wall. It says in Mishlei, Al tisadar lefnei meramim lefnei gedolim al tamod. Don't make yourself pride in front of gedolim. Here we have all the great tzaddikim discussing Chumash, and all of a sudden the rabbi gets up and gives his insights. So therefore, all that I want to do tonight for a few minutes is just show you a few different mamor chazal that I think are interesting for us to think about. You will say to me, you know them, and probably you do. I just want to remind everybody of a famous Maamar Chazal where the Gemara says, Ilav d'doli loch chaspa mimashkechas marginta tuve. Sometimes things which are known to us, we do not know. And chidushim, I don't think, is in place to give, but just a few interesting insights into the Chumash, which I think is kedai to know. And once again, I can tell time, Baruch Hashem, 9 o'clock is the time, correct? Good. I mean, we're over 10 o'clock, right now. Good. I want to begin, of course, with the introduction of the Netziv. Who is Mamish Guvaldik? And once again, you have the Ramban. You have the Netziv. You have the Malbim. You have Oznaim LaTorah. These are Gaoni Olam. Gaoni Olam, and each one gives a different insight into the Chumash, which you may not have seen before. And then, of course, we have the insights of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shach, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I don't call them Vertlach, I call them insights, because they give interesting ideas, which basically are talking again. We're talking about Gaoni Olam. And therefore, I'll just pick and choose, and I picked a few that I want to share with you tonight. First of all, I want to begin with the Netziv. The Netziv makes a very interesting point over here, and I want to read you what the Netziv says. The Netziv has an introduction to all of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and he begins by saying the Ramban calls Shemos Sefer HaGeula. Very simply, because in the Sefer Shemos we have the Geulas Mitzrayim. He brings the Bahag, and the Bahag says it's called Sefer Sheni. Why is the Sefer Sheni? Is the second book of Bereshis. Because according to the Bahag, he says, Hinei ha-sefer b'yichru sheni l'sefer Bereshis, ki uchelek sheni mizeh ha-sefer, ki tachlis olam b'chlal hu sheyia umo achas chelek Hashem amo, and that is us receiving the Torah. And what do we say in the Chumash? Vayere vayivoker yom hashishi. And what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Hashem made the world on one condition, that we accept the Torah on Shavuos. And that's why it says in the Chumash and Shemos, V'yisam li segula mikol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aretz. Hashem has to tell me the world belongs to Him. Hashem is telling me, please, I want you to save my real estate for me. Because if you don't accept the Torah, then the world goes back to tohu va'bohu, li ha'aretz. I made a tremendous investment into the world, so please do me a favor, accept the Torah. So therefore, according to the Habahag, is to tachlis olam bechlal. Nimso the Yetzias Mitzrayim ho yegemar habria, because in the Yetzias Mitzrayim, of course, comes Kabbalah Satorah. We say in Perek, by the way, which all of us know, Shimon HaSadik says, the world stands on three things. On what? Ala Torah, V'al HaRavoda, V'al Demilas Chasadim. Basically, that is Sefer Shemos. Shemos has Kabbalah Satorah, correct? Shemos has the construction of the Mishkan, correct? And what do we say in the Oz Yashir? Nachisov Achazdecha Amzuka Alto. The entire Yisias Mitzrayim was Chazdei Hashem. So when you think of Sefer Shemos, basically it's the Amudei HaOlam, Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. I just want to share with you a few ideas that I've come across. And once again, teaching Chumash is a very difficult thing to do. When I say that, so if you're teaching Chumash, you know, when you have Rashi in front of you, it's no problem. But when you're giving a shir in Chumash to people who are Talmidei Chachamim, and most of them, I'm sure, have gone over the Sedra, and most of them are aware of the Midrashim, to me, it's, well, what can I do? Well, I'll just try to give you a few of the insights that I feel have touched me. First of all, I want to read you something. Have you seen the Sefer, by the way? The Sefer is called Otzar HaMidrashim, and of course, it's five volumes. Originally put out by the Friedman family, I think from Canada. What he does is he takes the major Midrashim, and he brings them down, and over here, if I can show you, you see Rashi, you see, of course, the text, and then, of course, you see Rashi, and then you see in Rashi certain dark lines, which means that this Rashi, someplace is inside this Midrashim. Does he bring every Midrash? Of course not. Why he selects the Midrashim over others, I also don't know. But in the meantime, he does bring many Midrashim. He'll bring from the Rabbah, he'll bring from Yalkut, he'll bring from... and once again, this means that inside there, this Rashi is found. How many people have heard of the Sefer Shari Aron? 15 volumes. Amazing Sefer. Amazing Sefer. He takes the Ramban and the Radak and he brings in a Tziv. We all heard about... Me'am Lois. The Me'am Lois has all, shall we say, the Friedrich of Perushim. So between the Me'am Lois and Shari Aron, you have everything you want to learn in Chumash. And of course, he brings out the major Midrashim, which I have taken. And I want to show you a Midrash or two that may not be in the others. Number one, we go into the Chumash, of course. The Chumash with the Netziv. I'll give you a little point here and there. All right, now again, what I'm telling you are probably Lo Shamayim Hi Lo Meiver Layom Hi Ki Korov Hadover Maod Beficho Vilvav Kol Asoso. Number one, here's what the Netziv says. The Netziv says very simply. The Netziv says Uvnei Yisrael Paru Vayishrutzu Vayirbu Vayatzmu Mimaod Maod Vatim Olei Haris Hosam. So what's Pashup Shat? Paru means every family of children. Every family had many children, Vayishratzu. And sometimes you have many children, multiple births, and God forbid a baby dies. No, Vayirbu, the baby lived. And sometimes even when you have multiple births and the baby lives, some of them are not healthy, Vayatzmu. So the Chumash says by the Mitzrayim, you had all the brachas at one time. Paru, every family had children. Number two, Vayatzmu, they had many children at one time. Number two, and what else before? Vayishratzu, Vayirbu. And they lived in Vayatzmu, and they became strong. Vatim olei haaretz osam, that's the problem. And I read you right now what the Netziv says. And the Netziv says it's possible, and not as possible, the Netziv says it's possible.
What's the ma'ay ma'ay, according to that?
What?
What's the ma'ay ma'ay?
Where?
Possible?
Ma'od, ma'od, they became very strong. Very strong. Yizunt, you know, you have this people with tremendous vitality. So it says, I want to read you over here. Why did the Nasino come? Kol zebo mishum shebikshu loses miritzus Yaakov miritzon Yaakov avihem sheyeshu davka b'eres Goshen kedei sheyu bodod v'nivdal mimitzrayim. When they went to Goshen, there was, you ask yourself the question, is it better for the Jewish people to be in Monroe, to be in Williamsburg? I'm not being sarcastic when I ask that. To be in Crown Heights. Is it better for us to be in our own Tzaviva or to be with a goyim. That's the point. Does that lead to anti-Semitism or not? So he says Yaakov Avinu wanted them to be in Goshen. When it says here in Pasuk Vatimolei Haaretz Osam, which means the Jewish people broke their boundaries. They went out of Goshen, and that caused the anti-Semitism. There was a Russian of Yaakov. And he brings a further proof. It says in the Chumash, Hashem Yisbarach went among the homes, and there were many Jewish people in Egyptian homes and vice versa, and Hashem had to select, which means we were living among the Goyim. And that caused the anti-Semitism. Now, ask yourself the question. There were three stages we had to have in Mitzrayim. Avraham Avinu was told, Ki Geria Zaracha Beres Lo Lahem, stage number one. Vav Adum, stage number two. Vino Osam, stage number three. Arba Meyoshana. We are going to be Gerim, tourists. Wonderful to be a tourist. They like us very much. Avadum, we will be enslaved, which is not so bad. All people who work for companies, to an extent, are slaves. I'm not being sarcastic when I say that. You know, you work for a company. We have an attorney over here. He'll tell you that some people work for law firms. They work from dawn to dark, and they have to toe the line every minute of the day. Is that correct, counselor?
From dark to dawn.
What?
They work from dark to dawn.
Dark to dawn, whatever it is. Okay. In any event, many of us are avodim. We work for people, and it doesn't bother us. But the inui sum is the problem. Now, the time of inui, that could have been flexible. The time of inui Mitzrayim was approximately 90 years from Miriam. The word Miriam means Mariam, the bitter waters. That time of inui could have been only 10 years. Because basically, according to the Chazal, when Hashem Yisbarach says, Giria Zaracha Beres Lo Lahem, it began from Yitzchak's time. Hashem Yisbarach made his calculation to begin the Avdus well earlier. The Inui could have been less time too. The Inui could have been even maybe 5 or 10 years, depending upon what. But evidently, Hashem Yisbarach felt there had to be the Inui, because now he goes even further than the Siv says over here. It says, quote, Shain Onu Rotsim Leos Kigerim and Avdoliminumos and Takev, there are many people did not have a bris milah because he wanted to become one of the Goyim. Maybe that's where the Inui comes in, those 90 years. So Hashem speaks, so our Torah tells us, and I want to read you a very interesting midrash which touched me for the moment as I read it. So we speak about the Mayal Ladam Lam. Lam Yaldo Sereviol, Shemo Achashifra Vashem Hashanis Pua. And what did Pharaoh say? In Benuva Mitin also, in Basi Vachoya. So it says in the Chumash Fatirena Amazohim, says over here, in Basi Vachoya. So what does Rashi say? When the children came out, and I read Rashi word, Vadchayena Veloasu Kashardibra Vadchayena Sayaladim. What does Rashi say? Nasapo Slahem Mayim Umazo. Not merely did they give the children, they took them on, did they not kill them, they actually fed them and cared for them. I want to read you an interesting medrash, which is brought down, and the source of this medrash happens to be, he brings it down, Shemos Rabbah. Here's the medrash. It says over here, he says, Yesh mehem shuruyim losayis chigrim. When babies are born, nishvarkenim gedacht, they can come out lame. O sumim, blind, God forbid, bali mumen, etc., etc. Maho yu osos meyalos ela. What did these women do when they were giving birth? They davened. Says in the Chumash, ho yu omros betfila, the omros of mea kodesh baruch hu. Ato yu dea shelo kiyamnu devor shel paro. You know, we didn't do what Paro said. Elod of Arecha, Onu Mavakshos Lakayim Ribono Shalom, Yetze Havlan de Shalom. Let the baby come out perfect. Goes even further. Shaloyim Su, Yisrael Yedehem, Lasia Choleno Veloshen Hora Lomar, we did not do our job. Amazing medrash. So what the Chumash Park says, that Chazaradim, they saw to what the babies had, the food, the sustenance. I'm not finished yet. The medrash continues. He says over here, was pshat v'chayena es hayaladim. The S is also an extra word. I go further. It says, Hashem, es meloshon im varchayeno es hayoladim, hechiyu es imos im hayoladim. Let the mothers come out healthy as well. Whenever a baby is born, I always ask, how is the mother doing? Very important point. So here, according to this midrash, which we don't realize, these Mialdos not only took care of the babies physically, but they actually went out of their way to daven for them. All right? That's a strange insight which I don't think people are aware of, which I wanted to point out over here. Now we go further. So it says in the Chumash, Vatiftach vatir'ehu es hayelad v'einar boche. And the boy is crying. Who knows what the Baal HaTurim says? It was Aaron who was crying. We learned Pshat in the Chumash Poshit. Babies, she said the word. Now, according to the Rabbi Avigdor Miller, whom I'm going to quote quite frequently, Rabbi Avigdor Miller says that this Gzeira of Paro, everything is bashert from Hashem. Determined by Hashem. The Gzeira of Paro was done for one reason, that Moshe Rabbeinu should wind up in the house of Paro. Why? Why should Moshe Rabbeinu wind up in the house of Paro? Because he got to speak the language. And he got to talk with dignity. And he got to talk with confidence. And he has to know the nimusim, which means how things are done. You can't take a Jewish person who's been working all this time, who may feel a little bit, shall we say, dejected. No self-confidence. You had to have a person who walked with shtat. Therefore, when Paro gives a decree, which of course led to Yocheved putting Moshe in the water, which of course led to what? Moshe Rabbeinu being saved by Bisya or Basya, which of course led to what? Moshe Rabbeinu being in the house of Paro, which of course led to what? That Moshe Rabbeinu now can speak a language and walk around with great dignity. That made him the one who would be the Moshiach. To which Medrash Rabba says, Hashem is Baruch said to Moshe Rabbeinu, no one else can do it. No one else can do it. What do you mean no one else can do it? You don't find Tzaddikim? You don't find Gedolim? But Hashem is Baruch, but Dafke, again, Hashem is Baruch works miraculously with Teva, obviously. Miraculously with Teva. So when Hashem is Baruch says to Medrash Rabba, no one else can do it, he means because if you don't do it, no one else can take that place. And everything that's happening up till now is, shall we say, the machinations of Hashem to see to it that Moshe Rabbeinu winds up in the house of Paro, speaking the language, and able to talk to Paro the way it should be done. Now I want to go a little further. I want to read something from Rabbi Avrita Miller in a moment. All right. So it says in the Chumash now, there is a Rashi here that's so magnificent, and I don't think we really appreciate the Rashi. I'm going to read you a pasuk here in the Chumash. And Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem Yisborach, I give you a job. I give you a job. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, by the way, it's interesting to note, we have Yisro in very different forms. The Medrash brings down Moshe was being cared for by Paro. Bas Paro. And she played with him and she caressed him and everything else and was doing fine. And he's sitting on Paro's lap. Paro was playing with him and he reaches for the crown. Reaches for the crown. And at that time the advisors say to Paro, get rid of this guy, this baby. He's out to get your job. So what did Paro end? Paro was listening to his advisors. Who gave Paro the advice that they should be put in front of him red coals and a crown to make sure that Moshe Rabbeinu is after the color and not the crown? Who gave Paro the advice? Yisro. Brought on in Tanchuma. It's Yisro who said to Paro, no, you're imagining things. Put in front of this baby a pot of coals, red coals, and put the crown. You'll see it's the color he wants, not the crown itself. And what do Chazal say? Moshe Rabbeinu began to reach for the crown, and along comes Gavriel and pushes his hand to the coals. Who gave him that Eitzah? Who gave that Eitzah to Paro? Yisro himself. That's an amazing Medrash. And lo and behold, Yisro is the man. And according to Chazal, brought down a Medrash, but not Tanchuma. Why are Yisrael's daughters going to the well? For what reason? Because Yisrael has resigned. He doesn't want to be anymore the Comer, the priest for the Avodah Zarah. He's resigned. And therefore, he's put in the Chayrim, and that's why his daughter is the well. But I want to read a pasuk here in the Chumash, which a little bit of a insight by the Oznayim Torah, which I find fascinating. And the Rashi itself is fascinating. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Yisbarach, Lo ish tevorem anochi, gam et mol, gam mishlshom, gam meyot abercha avdecha, ki kevat peh, ochval loshan anochi. So what does Rashi say? How long did Moshe Rabbeinu keep Hashem waiting? 7 days. You don't keep Hashem waiting 7 days. But that's something else. What does Hashem say to Moshe? Bisham pelo adam. I read the pasuk further. Omi yasum ilayim, ocheresh, O Pikeach, O Iver, Halo Anochi Hashem. Quote, who gave a mouth to a man? Cannot speak, deaf, smart, blind, I do it. What does Rashi say? An amazing Rashi. Now, when you look at the Pasuk, Ein HaMikra Yosim Hidei Pshuto, you've got to ask yourself the question, why Rashi says certain things in a way? There's a Rashi in Chumash Bereishis, that Rashi says in Chumash Bereishis, I only come to give the perish of the Chumash, not to give Midrashim. And yet sometimes Rashi brings the Midrash and you got to say, why is he bringing his Midrash? If Rashi himself says in Bereishis, quite frequently, I'm only here to give the perish of the Chumash. What does Rashi say over here? Rashi says, Misom Pel Adam, you were captured by Paro. And Paro wanted to give the decree to kill you. Paro couldn't talk. When he did talk, and you're standing it. Now again, you've got to imagine what Rashi is saying. I'm going to read the Rashi because Rashi says it better than I can. Here's Rashi over here. Here says, here. Miyosa Paro Ilem. All of a sudden, Paro couldn't talk. Shelo nis'ames b'mitzvos harbigoscha. He wasn't quick enough for the mitzvah to kill you. And when Paro did say, kill this guy, all of a sudden those who were around couldn't hear. And then to the people who were killing you, they were blind. They couldn't see what they were doing. And all of a sudden you ran away. Do you see what Rashi is saying over here? Rashi is constructing a scene that you may not be aware of. What's the scene that Rashi is constructing? That Moshe Rabbeinu was captured. And Moshe Rabbeinu was brought before Paro. And he was condemned to death. And Paro didn't get out the words, kill him. And when he did out the words, kill him, they didn't hear him. And when they did grab him to kill him, somehow the people didn't do the job. It's an amazing Rashi over here. And sometimes the Rashi just flies over our head. We learn Pashat Pshat and Chumash. That all, by the way, we learn Pashat Pshat and Chumash, what Rashi says, that we say in Perek. This is what it says in prayer. Whatever we have, our gift of speech, our gift of hearing, our gift of sight, our gift of intelligence, all from Hashem. That's what David says in prayer. That's what it says in prayer. But that's how you read the Pasuk Pshat and Chumash. That's not the way Rashi reads it. Rashi reads it, there was a historical event over here. And by the way, I remember years ago in Florida, there was a Meshuggah in court who shot the judge and escaped from the court. They finally got the guy. He's on this room, Baruch Hashem. But they finally got the guy. But there was a mice in the floor that happens. That's exactly what's happening over here. That Moshe Rabbeinu was brought to trial, condemned to death, and he escaped. Now, you ask yourself the question, according to, as if to say, I can give you the power of speech. The Oznayim Torah adds a little bit of a point which I think is a touching point. Let's go to the Pasha Pshat and Chumash, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, how can I talk? I'm a kvad peh, I cannot speak. You know, so what does Hashem say? Misam peh lo adam. I give the power of speech, so what are you worried about? Why should a Chumash continue and say, O Cheresh, O Pikeach, O Iver. If Moshe Rabbeinu's problem is that he cannot talk, that's all Hashem could have said. And by the way, it says in the Chumash, V'yonochi er em picho v'im picho v'im. In fact, the Chazal tell us when Moshe Rabbeinu talked, but when he talked to the people, it came out mellifluously. When he talked to friends, he stammered. But when he talked to the people, Divrei Hashem, it came out perfectly. So Hashem did give him the power of speech. Why the other things? I just want to read you a little insight by the Ozaim HaTorah, which to me is fascinating. Here it says over here. It says over here, I'm getting Ozaim HaTorah. He says, Haim rak loshan lamudim chosel l'cha. Moshe Rabbeinu, you think all you're missing is the power of speech? Halol in toa amuna believos b'nei adam, to make people ma'aminim, u'mikoskein l'davar in paro tzorech hatol ozen shomas. You got to listen to people. Ulayan pekucha, you got to have intelligence. Lishmoa, liros v'lodas es matzavam, you got to realize their situation. Ulhoven es chukshe libam, and to feel what's going on in their hearts. I just want to, as if to say, to be a manig is something more than being a speaker. You have to have an empathy for the people. You got to have a feeling for the people. There's a famous Maimar Chazal of the Kotzker Rav. No, it isn't the Kotzker Rav, it's someone else, but I'll think of it in a moment. When Moshe Rabbeinu told the people, V'yadovar sheyikshem ikem, tovo elai ushmativ. So it was either Kotzker Rav or some great Rebbe who said, that when Moshe Rabbeinu said to the people, when you come to me, I can't answer you. What I can do, I can listen to you. V'yadovar sheyikshem ikem tovo elai ushmativ. I'm not in the world of psychiatry, Baruch Hashem. I have enough mishigoyim without being into the business. But I do know that the key is a listening process. That's exactly what the Ozaim HaTorah is touching upon. If Moshe Rabbeinu feels he has a chesaron in speech, so why is Hashem mentioning the other things? Now we go a step further. So it says in the Chumash, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe, and this is brought down also by Rabbi Miller, and I'll bring it down a moment later. He says over here, Al anavonasasa hayasera, modesty is wonderful. Excessive modesty is arrogance. Lo rasa akorish baruch hu liglos lo shu bechir on ye, v'i efshu l'shlo achacher, pen yizgora v'yipo mimadur goso, I only goes further. In plain words, and if I get it, I'll try and find it over here too, where he speaks about that fact, and I'll get to it in a moment. But I want to go to a pasuk before, and I want to quote Rabbi Avigdor Miller. And I think Rabbi Avigdor Miller, I'm going to quote him in two sections tonight. One section here and one section as we go on. I think Rabbi Avigdor Miller is an amazing parshan on the Chumash. Amazing. If a person were to come to me, a person wants to become a Baal Tshuva, and he wants to tell me about Yiddishkeit, I would say read this form of Rabbi Avigdor Miller on Chumash. Amazing. He happened to have been a great, great Talmud Chacham. He gave shiurim continuously. He wrote a sefer on tefillah. He wrote a sefer on history. He wrote a sefer, and I have many of them among. He's just amazing. He was a great Talmud Chacham. I want to read you what something he says over here. When Hashem first comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says to him, what? Al tikrav halom. Shal niolecho meir laglecho ki amokam asherata omin olav admas kodeshu. First of all, let me ask you a question. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu being commanded to take off his shoes? Which happened in the Beis HaMikdash as well. Why? So the Mefarshim tell us, and this is brought down in many Sforim. When we wake up in the morning, we say brachas. Bokeach Hivrim, we can see. Malbish Harumim, putting our clothes on. Tzokev Kefufim, we stand up straight. Why do you make the bracha Sheosili Kol Tzorki? What? Why? Shoes tell me I'm a Bala boss of the world. You never find an elephant wearing my shoes. You never find a lion wearing my skin. But I wear the skin of an animal. What does it mean when I wear the skin of an animal? I'm his Bala boss. I slaughtered him. I took his hide and I'm wearing it. When I say Shos Litzorki, I'm saying to Rabbono Shalom, I thank you for making me the Bala boss. In front of Hashem, you're not a Balavos. You're in heaven. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was being told, Shal niolecho me'awat lecho ki amokam asher. When we are in the presence of Hashem is Baruch, no one is a balabos. We all are what? We all are avodim. In the Beis HaMikdash we're avodim. And this is brought down by many mafarshim. But let me show you what he says over here in Avigdor Miller. A little interesting insight which I share with you, and then I have one more point which I think is an amazing point. The very first statement of Hashem, by the way, Avigdor Miller is written all in English. So a person who is not knowledgeable in Hebrew at all can read it and understand it, and it's written very, very simply, and the hashkofas of Avigdor Miller are unbelievable. Unbelievable. And he didn't say any flim-flam. He spoke it the way it was, to the point. Here's what he says. He says, the very first statement of Hashem Yisbarach to Moshe was this, and this is therefore most significant. As a preface to Hashem's instruction to men, it's imperative that the listeners be admonished against relaxing their fear of Hashem. Sometimes we take Hashem casually, whether it be in the way we daven. He goes further. A message from Hashem may tend to make the listener arrogant, as if an equal was addressing him. Therefore, he must be cautioned. Forgetting about the Shal Nalecha Me'arag Lecha, which I mentioned a moment before, which shows that you're an eved to Hashem, but the expression, Al Tikrav Halom, don't come any closer, was an expression of Hashem Yisbarach, don't look at me as your buddy. Don't look at me as if you're anywhere close to me. Al Tikrav Halom. Very interesting insight by Avigdor Miller on this point. My time is almost up because I want to go to the end of the Sedra. One more point that I'm going to bring now, not over here. So number one, Yisro is playing a very unusual role in the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. He is the one who inadvertently saved him, and he is the one he lives with. And according to many people, I want to read you a Midrash over here, if I get it. I'm always losing my notes. That's why I never speak with notes. Okay, here's a medrash. All right. It says in the Chumash, Hashem Yisbarach says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Go to Mitzrayim. And here it is. Here. Hashem Yisbarach says, go back to Mitzrayim. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Ribono Olam. It says in the Chumash, Vayoel Moshe Loshevis Esoish. What does the word Vayoel mean? Vayoel means he continued, or it can come from the word a curse, a shvua. It's Olah Hazos. According to Chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu made two promises to Yisro. One is found in the Mechilta, and one is brought down in Tanchuma. In the Yochel, Bipnei Shekiblani, Yisro uposach li es pesach beiso v'yanim u'kiben. I'm like a son to him. Chaya bechvodo, Yosra, I have to give him cover more than a father and a mother. And he goes further. Bona ha'olom kiblani Yisro v'noag b'kavod. Yisro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't be like Yaakov, who ran away from home without saying goodbye to me. Don't be like Yaakov. That's one pshat. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, I promised him. So Hashem said, I'll relieve you of the promise. What else did Yisro, what else did Moshe Rabbeinu promise Yisro? How do you explain that? It's a big problem. So many people say it meant, and by the way, according to Chazal, this had a negative effect because that became the grandfather in Shoftim of the Comer to Avodah Zarah. Many people, and Oznaim Torah answers that Yisro, they give an answer that Yisro was an eclectic. Eclectic means he picked what he felt was the best, and Yisro became a Shomer Torah mitzvahs by picking what he felt to be. And he wanted the son that Moshe Rabbeinu had not to be brainwashed into Yiddishkeit, but to find it on his own. That's what many people say. That just like I found Hashem Yisborach, after, like the Gemara says, Ata Yodati, Yigodol Hashem Yikol HaOlakim, what does Rashi say? He tried every Avodah Zarah. I want my son too to become world famous, world knowledge, and pick Hashem on his own the way I did. That's how some Perushim read it. And Ozayim Matoris says Moshe Rabbeinu had no choice. But I want to finish the last thing of Ozayim. I want to finish the last thing of Avigdor Miller, which is, in my opinion, fascinating. How does the Sedra end? Sedra ends where Moshe Rabbeinu complains to Hashem. Lamazesh shalachtani. So what does Rashi say? Moshe Rabbeinu is being punished for that. Look the way Rabbi Miller reads it. Very interesting. Very interesting. Here it is. And he said, my Lord, why have you done harm to this people? Moshe successfully passed the test which was continued to demonstrate his concern for his people. He had full trust in Hashem. When those people came to Moshe Rabbeinu said, look what you've done to us. Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, like we oftentimes say, Dagen ish gotfer helfen. Don't worry, God. He didn't say that. He complained to Hashem. Which showed what? Two things. It showed his Avas Yisrael. He didn't say, don't worry, God will take care of you. Avas Yisrael, to the point of confronting Hashem Yisborach, which was a great bechin on his part. I read what he says over here. He could have replied to the complaints in the foregoing verse by saying, fear not, Hashem will finally help him. But Moshe looked on their burdens. He experienced the full bitterness of his people. He says over here, he became elevated in Hashem's eyes, and he proved himself more than before to be worthy of the shepherd. He goes further. He says the anguish and bitterness of Moshe's complaint demonstrated not only his great love for his people, but his awareness of Hashem, that he felt so close to Hashem that he could complain to him about this particular situation. That's an amazing insight. You may not like it, but that's the way Avigdor Miller reads it. Gentlemen, my time is up. It's been my pleasure.
Yeah.